It took a man like Madiba to free not just the prisoner, but the jailer as well. To show that you must trust others so that they may trust you. To teach that reconciliation is not a matter of ignoring a cruel past, but a means of confronting it with inclusion and generosity and truth.
Hi, welcome to CNN Student News. You just heard President Obama speaking in Johannesburg yesterday, the event honoring former South African President Nelson Mandela. Three things to know about Mandela's memorial service. One, it was huge. It was held in a soccer stadium and attended by tens of thousands of people, street sweepers, actors, religious leaders, Mandela family members who spoke in between the cheers. Two, it was symbolic. This is the same stadium where Mandela himself spoke 23 years ago after he was released from prison. He'd been serving a life sentence for fighting South Africa's apartheid government. Mandela later became a symbol and advocate of human rights, and Tuesday's event coincided with UN Human Rights Day. Three, it was historic. 91 heads of state were there, a crowd of world leaders echoing attendance of Winston Churchill's funeral in 1965, or Pope John Paul II's in 2005. President Obama, former President George W. Bush, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton all traveled to South Africa on the same plane.
Air Force One is a very intimate setting, so that's a place where you can have quieter conversation. Once you get to one of these massive events, it's very hard to have real conversations.
These long flights, believe it or not, can forge friendships. In 1981, President Ronald Reagan could not attend the funeral of Egypt's Anwar Sadat, so he enlisted Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, and Jimmy Carter to attend instead. The flight was said to be initially awkward and very long, but one notable friendship emerged, evident at Ford's funeral more than 25 years later, when Jimmy Carter eulogized his longtime friend.
For myself and for our nation, I want to thank my predecessor.
Fast forward to 1992, Bill Clinton and President George H.W. Bush were fighting a bitter presidential contest. But 7 years later, when they traveled together to attend the funeral of Jordan's King Hussein in 1999, that ice began to thaw. And now they're partners in philanthropy all over the world. Such a gathering of most or all living presidents is typically reserved only for monumental, usually sad events. The journey itself holds the potential for conflict and resolution on a first-class scale.
It's going to make a big, big difference in the atmospherics on Air Force One with George W. Bush there with his successor. That President Bush has been so reserved in making any negative comments. He's not second-guessing his successor, and I think that the Obama people really appreciate that.
This gang has seen more of each other than usual. In April, the group suited up to attend the dedication of the George W. Bush Presidential Library in Texas. Then in August, Clinton, Obama, and Carter joined forces to honor the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington.
No former president likes to be marginalized. They've always been the center of attention. And here we're going to have three formers and a current president. Four centers of attention? That's a lot to juggle.
You're now looking at pictures of Mary Barra. She'll make history next year. On January 15th, she'll take over as the CEO of General Motors. Barra will be the first woman ever to lead an American car maker. It's an industry dominated by men. Women make up 21% of its total workforce. Barra has been part of it since she was 18 years old, working her way up over the past three decades. She was paid almost $5 million last year as an executive focused on design, engineering, and quality. A car research official says choosing a female CEO is a smart idea because most car buying decisions in the U.S. are made by women. GM's been profitable for several years, but has aggressive competition in the U.S. and challenges selling cars in Europe.